In the name of the one who loves you, the one who longs for you, the one who will come to save you, in the name of Jesus, dear friends. The young woman plopped herself on the couch in my office in the dormitory, and she sighed, a big heavy sigh. She didn't know if she wanted her fiancé to become her husband. She loved him, and he loved her, and everything was fine, but she said, I can be a little crazy, and I don't know if he can handle me. The middle-aged employee knows how that feels. He had a similar thing. He said to me, I don't know if my company wants me. I'm not that good at my job. And the little kid knows exactly how that feels too. Because after getting in trouble yet again at school and getting scolded, he went home and said, what's wrong with me? And in all three cases, their questions about earthly life led to questions about Jesus. Does Jesus think something's wrong with me? Does Jesus want me? And it's easy for Christians to do, to ask, I can be kind of crazy. Can Jesus handle me? Today we're going to find our answer. We're going to find it in knowing that Jesus has such a determined love. He's on a quest to take away the sins of the world, and we will see Jesus' determined love as he knows what's coming for him, and he still goes. We'll see it in his tears over the people in Jerusalem and the fact that he appears in Jerusalem. All this happened, this story of Jesus, in Perea. Perea is the region on the other side of the Jordan River, and Jesus was very popular there. But the Pharisees wanted Jesus out of Perea in Judea, where he wouldn't be quite so popular. And fortunately for the Pharisees, Perea was ruled by King Herod. And the King Herod people got together with the Pharisee people, and they teamed up against Jesus. They wanted one thing, him out. No more miracles, no more huge crowds of disciples. They wanted Jesus out, so they did this. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you. They came to Jesus and they played their trump card. King Herod wants you dead. Herod, where have I heard that name before? Oh, yeah. That's the guy who decapitated your cousin, John the Baptist. Anyhow, you should probably leave. How do you think their plan worked? Well, Jesus said, he replied, go tell that fox. The fox is a crafty, kind of sneaky animal, but not that big and not that dangerous, right? Go tell that fox, I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I will reach my goal. Jesus disrespected the trump card. He denied the ace up their sleeve, and he said, I'm going to know where I'm going to be today. I know where I'm going to be tomorrow, and I will finish my journey exactly when I plan to finish my journey. Jesus told the Pharisees, you don't know anything that I don't know, and Jesus knew exactly where his mission ended. Which makes me think, if the threat of murder from a maniac king didn't intimidate Jesus, do you really think he can't handle you? But Jesus goes on. He said, in any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Now, this is really cool, too, because Jesus is playing with the Pharisees' words. They came to him. They said, you got to go because Herod wants to kill you. And Jesus says, no, you go and tell that fox that I'm going to do it on my timeline. And then he says, but I will go. I will go to Jerusalem not to save my life, but because that's where prophets die. I'm going to go to give up my life. You know, Jesus wasn't intimidated by Herod, and he wasn't fooled by the Pharisees. He knew exactly where he was going to go. And so in this story, this is in the Bible to show us Jesus' determined love, that even though he knows what's coming for him, he goes. And that even though he is facing arrest and beatings and crucifixion, he's determined. His love is determined. And so if Jesus isn't intimidated by those things, do you really think that you're too much for him to handle? So Jesus goes. He goes to Jerusalem, and he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. This is the image, this image of a hen gathering her chicks under her wings. It's one of the most powerful in the whole Bible. And in fact, allegedly, it prompted National Geographic magazine to write an article about it. I was poking around online, and apparently in 1989, there was a forest fire in Yellowstone National Park. And after the blaze had gone through, the forest rangers went through to see what the damage was. And one ranger came across the carcass of a bird that was petrified in ash. It was pretty nasty to look at, so he broke it up with a stick. And underneath the ash were three little chicks, and they scurried away. Now, apparently, this mother had seen the fire coming, and instead of choosing to fly away, she chose to sacrifice herself to gather her chicks under her wings so that they could live. It's a beautiful story, right? It's an amazing illustration of Jesus' love. The only problem is it's not true. It's not true. I searched a little more online, and National Geographic never published a story about that. And Yellowstone National Park has a record of a fire, but no record of any event like that. It's apparently some Christian author made it up to illustrate Jesus' point, but it never happened. And that's the point. That's really the point. That as beautiful as Jesus' image is, that he would gather Jerusalem together to keep them safe and sacrifice himself so they could live, it never happened. Not because Jesus didn't want to, right? He said, I've longed to gather you. And not because Jesus didn't actually sacrifice himself. He did. He died on the cross to take away the sins of the world. But as Jesus said to Jerusalem, you were not willing. That's one of the scariest things in the Bible. Jesus said, you were not willing. It teaches us that even though Jesus isn't intimidated by Herod and he's not fooled by Pharisees, he won't force anyone to believe in him. And so when people walk away from Jesus of their own will, he lets them go. Jesus, he was rejected by the city of Jerusalem, and that made him sad. You see Jesus' love for Jerusalem here in his tears. This is famously called the scene where Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. But here's the thing. Nobody in this room, as far as I know, wants to kill Jesus. And nobody in this room hates their Savior. So the moral of the story can't be, shame on us, we're just like Jerusalem. Because by God's grace, we're not like Jerusalem. But this is a cautionary tale for us. It's a warning. One of Jesus' friends wrote it like this. He said, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Be careful. This is a cautionary tale that says, if you think that your worldview is more enlightened than Jesus' worldview, be careful that you don't fall. If you think that Jesus' way of living is the boring way, and so you can ignore him, be careful that you don't fall. If you, for whatever reason, are tempted to ignore God's word, be careful, because that's what Jerusalem did. Be careful that you don't fall. At Mount Olive, we take that warning from Jesus very seriously. And so the pastors and the elders, the mature Christian men, they work on reaching people who haven't been here in a long time. When it seems like somebody is wandering away from Jesus, We send them a letter that says, hey, we haven't seen you in a while. If you found another church, let us know. If there's something going on at home we can help with, let us know, but we're concerned. And if we don't hear from them for a while longer, we send another letter that says, hey, seriously, we're a little worried because Jesus warned us about this. So let us know what's going on. And if we still don't hear from them, even after that, they get a letter like this. It says in the letter that Jesus says about the Jews who refuse to listen to him, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. And the letter goes on, Jesus has longed to gather you together with all God's children. He has longed to tell you of his love for you, of his sacrifice for you, of his gracious will for your life. The letter says, Jesus has fervently desired to feed your faith every week through his word and sacrament. And yet, in spite of the Savior's desire to draw you close to himself and keep you as a member of his family, it appears that you were not willing. When any of us put something ahead of Jesus and we give ourselves the right to ignore God's word, then we're putting our souls in danger of hell by no fault other than our own. And so Jesus warns us. Jesus warns the people who reject him that they're on the path to hell. But we can also see Jesus' amazing love for those people. We see Jesus' love for those who rejected him when he appears in Jerusalem. Because he went on to say this. The end of Jesus' speech says, I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Do you know when people said that about Jesus? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It was on Palm Sunday when Jesus got on a donkey and rode into Jerusalem, the city that rejected him. When they turned their back on Jesus, he showed up. He appeared to die for their sins. You see Jesus' amazing love, his determined love, when he shows up, when he appears. Diane was a girl I knew. She was 16 at the time, and she got into a fight via text message with some of her friends. Apparently, Diane had told Becky a secret, but then Becky shared that with Cindy, and then Cindy and Becky made their own group chat that didn't include Diane, and Diane was very mad. So when Mom picked her up from school, Mom stepped on an emotional landmine, right? And there was tears, and there was an angry exchange, and it ended, Mom, you'll never get it. Leave me alone. Up the stairs, slammed the door, locked behind her. Well, Diane was a Christian young woman, so it didn't take long before she kind of realized that that was not the smartest thing to say to Mom. So she came downstairs, kind of tail between her legs. But Mom had gone. And on the table in the kitchen, Diane found her favorite snack at her place at the table. And it was a simple way for Mom to say that even though you walked away from me, even though you rejected me, I still love you. That's the love of Jesus. That's the love of Jesus that is ready and welcomes anybody who's walked away. And so if the question is, are you too much for Jesus to handle? If the question is, are you too sinful for Jesus? The answer is never, no. If the answer is, are you too stubborn for Jesus? The answer is, you can walk away, but he is ready to take you back. That's why when we send that letter to Mount Olive members who have strayed, we include this line too. We stand ready to share God's love and forgiveness with you. When Jerusalem rejected Jesus, they stoned prophets and they killed Jesus. But do you remember the first place Jesus sent missionaries after he rose from the dead? Jerusalem. You see Jesus' amazing love, that he cares for even those who rejected him. So if this cautionary tale about Jerusalem has you worried, like, oh my goodness, I could lose my faith, right? Good, right? That's for us to be worried about. But then you also need to know this awesome, reassuring truth from a different part of the Bible. Jesus said in John chapter 10, "My sheep, my people, listen to my voice. I know them, and no one can snatch them out of my hand." Jesus says he has you secure in his grasp, and no one can take you away from him. He will keep you in the faith. Which is maybe a little confusing, because now we've seen the Bible teach two things about this. The Bible said, be careful that you don't fall from your faith. But then the Bible also said, no, Jesus will keep you in the faith. He has you in the palm of his hand. And if we sit here and try to make logical sense of it, it won't make any sense. We'll make fools of ourselves trying to make these things logically sound, because they aren't meant to go together and make perfect sense. These two teachings from God's word are meant to point us to Jesus. When we are overconfident in our faith, thinking that we can take or leave God's word, we could do without Jesus, he wants you to know, be careful. You might fall. You need to rely on Jesus. And when we're worried about our faith, when we're scared that maybe we're going to go to hell, he wants you to know that he has you in the palm of his hand so that we rely on Jesus. God has set up his word so that at every turn, it points us to Jesus. Every teaching in the Bible points us back to Jesus. It's just another example of his amazing love for us. And so, we see Jesus' determined love today. We see that he knows what's coming for him, but he still goes. We see that he cries over the people he's lost, and we see that he appears even to those who rejected him. So my prayer today is that everybody here would see Jesus' determined love, but more than that, that then we would turn around and show Jesus' determined love. Now, Jesus showed love by dying on the cross to take away our sins. And as far as I know, God hasn't asked any of us to do that. Thank goodness, right? That was Jesus' job. But he's given us important jobs to do in his kingdom. We have an important role to play, and we need to show our love with determination, just like Jesus. I was reminded of that this week when I saw a video. And the video had a bunch of adults in front of a camera, and they asked them one question. If you could eat dinner with anybody, living or dead, who would you choose? And the answers were pretty predictable at first. It was, you know, Justin Bieber and Kim Kardashian. And then some people thought deeper. They said, it would have to be somebody who's really important, who really made a big difference in the world. Maybe like Nelson Mandela. Okay, good answers. And then they would take those people and put them in a different room in front of a TV. And on the TV, those people would see their children. And they would ask the children the same question. They'd said, if you could have dinner with anybody, living or dead, who would you choose? And the kids said, does it have to be a celebrity? I said, no. My mommy and daddy. And the parents are starting to tear up, right? Then the next kid comes on the screen. If you could have dinner with anybody, well, anyone in the whole world? Yeah. I'd pick my family with all my brothers and sisters and all my cousins. And the parents are starting to weep now, right? And then every kid, one after another, says, I would want to have dinner with my family. And the parents were crying because even though to the parents, the people who were most important in the world were people who changed governments and people who were in the spotlight all the time, to the kids, the most important people in the world were family. I tell you that story to show you that God has given us amazing ways to show love to one another, but it's going to take some determination, right? You're not going to get an award for having a great heart-to-heart with your kids. You're not going to get a trophy for driving your grandkids to every appointment they need. You're not going to get more popular for treating your brothers and sisters with respect or for staying in touch with old relatives. You're not going to get praised for talking to mom and dad like they really are your elders appointed by God. But that kind of love in a family, that kind of love in a family growing in Christ like we have here at church, that kind of love makes a difference. It's going to take some determination too. We will never have enough energy on our own, right? Which is why I'm proposing that we take this time on our quest of Lent from now until Easter to focus on Jesus' amazing determined love, that it might energize us to show determined love to one another. May God grant that in all of our lives for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please stand.